This is a replay of the Wednesday, October 1st WGN show. We started at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, Hollywood is all in a tizzy, bristling at the arrival of Tilly Norwood. Tilly Norwood is a new actress on the scene. The problem is she isn't real. It's AI designed to look just like the proverbial girl next door. A Dutch actor and comedian, Eline van der Velden, created it. I shouldn't say it. I guess I should say her. And Norwood's been making the rounds on social media, where she shares AI-generated comedy sketches and her headshots and interviews complete with quips about feeling very real emotions. But needless to say, and I don't blame a one of them, this is just earth-shattering to Hollywood. In fact, one of the people interviewed who had said, "We're screwed," was doing it, saying, "This is AI. It just looked a little too good." Now, SAG-AFTRA quickly condemned her, of course, saying it's a character generated by a computer program that was trained on the work of countless professional performers, and AI creations like Norwood lack the experience and the emotion necessary for true acting. Well, that hasn't stopped a lot of people, really, and could threaten the livelihoods of human performers. It will. All right. Now, it's interesting because a number of people spoke up, the usual crowd of the Whoopi Goldbergs of the world, but Emily Blunt and Tasha Leon, who apparently is experimenting with ethical AI herself, and the definitions of that aren't necessarily 100% clear. She has the aim of making a movie that stars real human actors, but involves AI. And, you know, I could see that. If you're talking about some of the stuff that extras now do, I don't really have a problem with getting rid of the proverbial extras and having AI as far as that goes. But as Emily Blunt was saying, that's AI. Good Lord, we're screwed. It's really, really scary. And the creator says it's not a replacement for real actors, but it's a digital art piece, not unlike drawing a character. Well, I don't know. It is a great concern, and I can see where a number of people in Hollywood see their careers going down the drain with something like this. And, they don't have to worry about ego. They don't have to worry about creative input. You know, the directors and producers, no huge salaries, unattractive aging. Yeah. Health concerns, on and on it goes. Yeah, so you can see where this thing is potentially very attractive. Now, of course, we have yet to see it in full action. We're seeing clips of it. But man, I tell you, it's coming as far as that goes with regard to AI, probably affecting a number of people in different ways. But with regard to public people who are performers of any type, yeah, Not a happy thing. And you're already seeing some of this on the internet, not necessarily with AI, but the ability to manipulate images of legit people. And you, when I say legit, people who exist, let's go there. You see them in clips or videos on YouTube or whatever, where they're saying some of the most outlandish things. And you would swear that this is the person. You see it a lot with the Washington crowd as well, you know, all the politicians, what Trump is saying, or with someone else, you know, they kind of have that down. And it is frightening, because this is once again where technology eclipses wisdom. And I would be all for let's get some rules of the game here. And I'm sure SAG after we'll work on that, to say the least. But like I say, for extras, why not? That sounds like a good deal all the way around. Solves so many problems. But front and center on stage, gonna get interesting. So I'm sure you'll be hearing more about it. But as I say, I think there is an effect on many different working individuals for many different reasons, not just those who are quote unquote celebrities or publicly known. So we'll see how that goes. But I have not checked out Tilly myself. But if you have, I want to know what you think about her. I did see some stills, and yeah, she looks real good to me as far as that. But we'll leave it to you, and I'll try to look for more of her online to see. But in general, the people in the know say it's frighteningly good. So, yes, what else have you got to worry about? 888-876-5593. That is going to take us to Lisa in Dundee. Welcome to WGN Radio, Lisa.
Hey, thanks, Raleigh. You know, I have seen a video of Tilly, and it is very frightening.
Really?
Really.
I would think so. And, it's a harbinger of things that need to be settled before these are deployed.
Yeah, and she's been in movies before.
As a starring role or a supporting role?
That I don't remember. Right. But she looks, I mean, you couldn't really tell. I couldn't.
Right.
I don't know how anybody could tell.
Yeah.
The difference. It's really, this AI is just getting really, really scary.
Well, that's why I say that, you know, it's science eclipsing logic. It really needs to be well thought out before it's deployed. And I don't blame all the actors and actresses in Hollywood who are just saying this is not good. And like I say, anyone in the public eye, the things that I'm seeing online that are supposedly coming out of, you know, various public people's mouths is just insane.
It is. And it's going to come to the point where we're not going to know who we're dealing with.
Oh, that's absolutely true.
You know, obviously it's not face to face, but you know, if you see a video or something, you know, and sometimes online they'll put, you know, the real picture on one side and the AI picture on the other, and it's just very scary.
Yeah, and, you know, in terms of AI mimicking someone who exists, like their image, I think most of the public people have a right to their own image and probably could sue for that. But, you know, like Tilly Norwood, far as I know, she's not one identifiable person. She's probably a composite.
Right, but she looks just like, you're right, she looks like half, you know, half a dozen actresses.
That's what I mean.
You know, with the long brown hair and, you know, everything. She, you know. But they can do, like, AI. I've heard, like, they'll take Johnny Cash's voice, but he'll sing a new song.
Oh, I know. Oh, you're seeing
it. And it's so scary. You just can't tell.
Right.
You really can't tell.
They do need to sort this out. And, hopefully and I'm sure the union will come down hard on that. But as I say, it's not just Hollywood and celebrities. It's anyone with a public presence. And, you know, it's not just a matter of owning your own identity, because I think that could probably be codified. But unfortunately, these AI characters are not any one identity. They can be anything.
Right. Yeah, you can sign up to have one to call you.
Oh, I know.
and be your boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever.
What's bizarre about that is we're starting to see domestic battery involved. And you're saying, how could that be? Well, here's how that can be. The AI characters convince individuals to harm themselves.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
It's just some, but that wasn't actually my call. I wondered if you heard of the temporary name change for Maxwell House Coffee.
No.
They're calling it Maxwell House Apartment.
No.
Rather than Maxwell House. It's just Maxwell Apartment.
Why is that?
Because a lot of people don't live in houses. They live in apartments.
Now, here's the problem with this. There's a lot of high-rise apartments that could be called Maxwell House.
It's only temporary, but I saw it on the nightly news, and I just looked it up again, and because I thought it was
a bit,
you know, going to be forever at first, but it's only temporary. But they've got the containers already with the name, and I guess people are supposed to feel more comfortable if it
Maxwell
says apartment on
apartment.
It.
Apartment. A third of Americans opt to rent versus purchasing a home, says the Census Bureau. All right. Rising coffee and home prices. They want affordable coffee. Well, compared to Starbucks, I'm sure Maxwell House is a bargain, or Maxwell Apartment. So
it's the same product and it's the same price,
but
whether you live in an apartment or house.
This, you know, right? There are people who clearly have too much time on their hands.
Well, and somebody had to get paid for that idea.
Right? Well, absolutely, they did.
With everything that's going on in this world,
yeah,
I just don't, you know, how could we really think that that name change is going to make such a difference in somebody's life?
I don't know. What I will say, we're talking about it. So they probably got a few million dollars worth of publicity over this nonsense.
I just thought it was such a stupid thing when I first heard it.
But it worked.
I mean,
we're publicizing it.
I know,
worked.
That's true. That's
yeah,
true.
So, you know, you can't knock it entirely.
No.
But I understand that they're taking it even a step further in their marketing. They're have an official Maxwell apartment lease to sign. So, yeah, it's why not? And, you know, earlier in the year, Starbucks changed their name to the Starbucks Coffee Company, though its legal name is still Starbucks Corporation. But I did notice the other day that about 100 and something Starbucks are closing because people are just not paying the money anymore.
Right. And look what happened to Cracker Barrel.
Well, I still say that was brilliant.
Well, and that could have been
the stock
a bit.
A,
you know,
the stock wound up going up in the end.
Right,
and,
right.
And B, that was millions of dollars worth of publicity. That gal in Nashville who's their CEO should get a raise for that.
That's true.
Yeah. But, so Goldfish, in October of 2024, Goldfish changed their name to, I don't know how that happens, by the way. I didn't think Goldfish had any rights at all, but to Chilean Sea Bass.
Oh,
yeah. Goldfish must be a chain. God, I hope so. Yeah, right. So,
oh, you're talking about a restaurant.
I think so.
I thought you were talking about those little cheese
Well,
crackers.
That's... No. That's Pepperidge Farm. They're not doing anything, as far as I know.
I'm thinking, they're not going to call them children.
No. Coors Light temporarily changed their name to Monday's Light in support of people who went too hard on the Super Bowl. Oh, God.
Oh, geez.
Well, again, we're talking about it. There's a certain amount of brilliance here.
I guess that's what advertising's all about.
Absolutely.
You know.
But Maxwell Apartment. Wouldn't you have liked to have been a fly on the wall during that corporate meeting?
Yes. When somebody suggested that he didn't.
Yeah, I just want to see the look.
The
right. You want to see the look on everybody else's face. Yeah. And that's where you start to think they're drinking, but not the product. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Interesting stuff. It's always great to hear from you. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
All right.
Bye.
So 888-876-5593. Right after this, we're going to hear from Allie Hackett in Philadelphia. But I understand there is some sad news a-coming. So we will pick that up. And we also have some requests, as usual. And you'll hear the first one of them next on WGN Radio. Oh, it's my turn. You see, I'm supposed to talk about the Sea Crane Company. Yes, I was playing with my CC Pocket Radio earlier today, in fact, debating whether to take it or the EP Pro with me when I'm away for 3 weeks. The EP Pro 1. But let me tell you, the CC Pocket Radio is a great radio. It fits right in my purse. It's lightweight. It's easy. It's fun. One of the most popular pocket radios on the market. Unbeatable AM/FM reception with crisp, clear audio. Yeah, it's very small, so it's got a small speaker, and it is crisp and clear, but the nice thing is it also comes with included CC earbuds that are so full fidelity, you will be surprised. There's 5 memory preset buttons, so you can instantly select your favorite station. It's got a digital readout, a clock, a timer, an alarm, and of course it's got NOAA weather and the weather alert if you want it. You also can turn that off if you don't want to be bothered. It's very lightweight, it's very durable, and I'm living proof of that because I'm hard on my toys and I haven't destroyed it. It's very easy to hold, rubber sides and a pocket clip, and it'll fit in the palm of your hand, and it goes anywhere. If you go to ccradio.com, you will see the CC Pocket Radio. It has something in common with every radio that Bob Crane has developed, and that's that it just has superior reception, AM and FM, because he, like many of us back in the 80s, were just disgusted with the state of radio reception on what was being sold. And he said, I can do better. And that's turned into a company with dozens of choices. And the one thing they all have is terrific reception. So check out the CC Pocket Radio at ccradio.com. If you can't go online, you can call them 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. They've got the world's best customer service. You can ask questions. They'll answer them. You can take an order over the phone if you want. Whatever you need, they're there. Yes, in the good old U.S. of A. But if you can, I'd say right now, head on over to ccradio.com. You look at the CC Pocket Radio, and you tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Say you're gonna leave me, baby. Why you wanna treat me this way? After all that I've done for you, you still wanna walk away.
I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Marvelos. Not those Marvelos. The Los Angeles Marvelos. I'll tell you more about it, but right now I got the news, and then we'll pick it up right there in moments on WGN Radio.
I dig the way my baby walks, and dig the things she does.
WQN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Sounds like Northern Soul. That's because it is Northern Soul. But originally it was us, 1966 on RCA, the Cavaliers, Hold to My Baby. And that was Evelyn in Michigan who requested that, and also the Marvelous. Wanted to talk about the Marvelous for a moment, because, and that is a fine Marvelous song. Don't get me wrong. The problem is it's not our Marvelous, you know, our Marvelous, if you're in the Chicago area, you know, from 1959. That was Johnny Pate who put that together, and you know, A Friend in My Heart, and of course I Do, yeah, which was originally the warm-up song, and then it got released as a single in 65, and it became, you know, just huge, as far as I'm concerned, and covered by everybody, including the Jay Giles Band. So, interestingly, if you follow those Marvelous, you remember that at some point in their career, like 1964, they became the Mighty Marvelous, and you're saying to yourself, what the hell happened there? Well, what the hell happened there was the lawsuit with the other Marvelous, you see. There was a group in California, that's, yeah, Jesse Harris and a bunch of others, and they had formed in 63. Now, interestingly, you would think, because the Marvelous in Chicago were around much longer than that, but I don't know why, they wound up on Warner Brothers subsidiary Loma in Los Angeles, and you know, they did several things locally, but then you know, the Hold On to My Baby deal was almost national. Yeah, and Why Do You Hurt the One You Love is what I should say, was 66 as well. So not the same Marvelous. All right, now I admit that when I was listening to the Cavaliers, I fell asleep. It's a true story. Yeah, well, Northern Soul does that to me. But, you know, I am trying to get 2 weeks of work done in 2 days. And so what had to go was sleep. And what I realized now was that was not my best move. So when the show is over, it'll be a while before you get a replay, because I got to go to sleep. But I'll wake up and you'll have it before the next show, I promise. Now, with that in mind, we welcome Ollie Hackett from Philadelphia. But it says you've got some sad news, Ollie. What's going on?
I do, sweetheart. It's good to hear from you. It really is good to hear from you.
I'm so glad you called.
Yeah, I've been working and just forgot all about it. Honestly, I really did. Tracy reminded me, you got to get the Raleigh, James. You got to get the Raleigh. Yeah. Anyway, the sad news is about 9:15 here in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Steve Caldwell got his wings.
No.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
No. Caldwell, I liked him so well.
Yeah.
And just wonderful. And what a great voice that was. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Orlons would have been nothing without Stephen Caldwell. He was so much fun. And, you know, I know you were close to Dee Dee Sharp, and they used to pal around together. And I remember he'd always attend Corky's Labor Day barbecues.
Yes, the barbecue. Yeah.
And now Corky's gone, and Mrs. Corky, and now Steve Caldwell.
Yes.
Oh, I'm heartsick about that. Of course, the reason I'm really heartsick is, you know, I always say the only way to get off my callback list is to die. And sadly, it's one of those things I've been meaning. Oh, I'm going to call him back. And oh, man, because he would have a birthday next month.
Yes, he would. And I'm so glad that I was able. He got him and the Orlons got their star on Broad Street in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
A couple of months ago. And I was glad I was there. And speaking about Dee Dee, she just lost her husband last week.
Oh.
So yesterday I was with her all day at the services.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just a long day. And then tonight this happens, about, like I said, about 9:15 or so.
Oh,
so
man.
Now I hate to be the bearer of sad news, but I know you would want to know.
I know he had been in a wheelchair for a while, but I didn't know what was going on. Was it any specific that took him out? What caused it, do you know?
Well, it was just time. It was just time. You know what I mean? It was
just
time.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I don't grieve for him because he's in a much better place. I grieve for us because I'm telling you, they're dropping like flies. This is.
Yes. Yes,
and, you know, you probably will share this sentiment. There's so many people I'd prefer be gone, and they're just here. Why is it always the ones that I want to stay? You know? I know that's mean to say, but, you know.
But you know what? It's It may be mean to say, especially for someone of your status on the air, but how many of your listeners are saying, yep, I wish it was true?
Well, it is true. And they say only the good die young. And granted, Steve, you know, was in his early 80s, was not mid-80s now, actually, almost, but not young. Right. But still, there so many people are just still with us that should be gone. It's just wrong.
Yeah. So, absolutely.
But,
absolutely.
You know,
I agree with you.
You know, I'm glad for him because he's free and he's in a better place. And I know that is true. But I'm sorry for all of us left behind. This is just a loss.
Yeah. Exactly. Like I said, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I know that you would want to know.
I absolutely do want to know.
As soon as I got the call, I said, as soon as I get settled, I'm going to call Raleigh. She comes on and let her know what's what.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, that's just so sad. And again, sad for us. So glad you let me know. Even though the news isn't happy, I am glad to know
Exactly.
Yeah. Now
darling, I wrote you, I emailed you, or texted you, whatever I did, I don't know, to get your information so I can line you up for one of my shows. And I know you've been busy, but
it's ridiculous. I will be gone from Thursday, well, tomorrow, after tomorrow's show, until the 27th of October. And the problem is, I literally have 2 weeks worth of work to do that I'm trying to push into 2 days. Not working out very well at the moment. But so I will find your email. I'm sure I will find it. I'm sure it's there. I will find it and I will answer it.
Okay. I just want to set you up for a date on our show so we could really have some fun.
Oh, I'd love it. I'd love it. Yeah, like I said when you called a few weeks ago, that night we all got together all night was just wonderful.
Oh, yeah. This Friday, I have on Marshall Thompson, last living member of the Shallite.
Yes. And he's done so many neat things himself as well. So,
exactly.
A lot of that doesn't get much airplay, but I play it on one of my stations because I liked his later stuff.
Yeah.
Good.
Yep. Well, listen, my dear, I am at work, and I'm going to listen for the rest of the night, but I just want to give you that sad news. And you be safe and have a good time wherever you're going on your vacation, and I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Ali. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so that is just very sad. And if you're saying, who's Stephen Caldwell? Because I know there are people who probably don't know. And the easiest way is you remember all those Orlon records like Not Me, and you hear that frog voice, Not Me. That's Stephen Caldwell. And he actually did that as a joke originally, and Bernie Lowe and Dave Apple all said, hey, keep that in there. And it became the signature voice of the Orlon. So Not Me is, I guess, my favorite. And that actually was a remake, you know. It was originally, I think, a Gary U.S. Bonds record. But the Orlons really nailed it. But so many things. So we'll play some more. And this, once again, is my loss. And, someone else is off my callback list. I'm despicable. We'll talk to Jack in St. Charles, and we'll talk to you, too, I hope. I hope you'll call me, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
He said, tell about your husband.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, it's probably my favorite, but Steve Caldwell first did the frog voice. They were recording South Street, and he just put it in there as a joke. So say, and Bernie Mann, Dave Apples, hey, leave that in there. That's a good gimmick. And then that wound up on pretty much everything they ever did after that. But truly a nice man. And my loss that I didn't follow up on his last call. And as I think about it, oh my God, that's now been years. It's terrible. I mean to do it, but I know. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And that's going to take us to Fran in Austin. How are you doing tonight, Fran?
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah, and I got to say, I got your email, and it was also one of those things. I got a caller, and then I looked, and I said, not at 4:15 in the morning, I don't. So,
well, this morning I didn't happen to be up at 4:15,
yeah.
But a lot of mornings I am.
Oh, man.
So, and I turn off my, I don't answer, you know, when
you
go to sleep.
Turn off the ringers? Okay, good. Good.
Yeah, so, but, anyway, I know that your life's been crazy lately,
yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, but I, let's see. First of all, I wanted to request an Orlon song.
Oh, yeah?
And that's one of my favorite ones is Don't Hang Up.
Oh, absolutely. And Steve's certainly prevalent in that one. Oh, man. You can
hear
all over the place. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then I probably know the answer to this, but have you had time to see if that Sea Crane radio that I was asking about is at all accessible? I can Gary can program my pocket radio for me, so maybe he can program that for me.
This is terrible. I don't even remember which Sea Crane radio it is.
It was the Bluetooth one, three, I think.
Yes, yes.
And you said that you weren't, because I was asking you if it was accessible, you said you were going to blindfold yourself.
Right, exactly.
But I know you've had...
No, I haven't, but I have reached for that radio in the dark, and no, I mean... I think the only reason it's somewhat tactile is because I've seen it and I know where things are. You know, it's I don't think it's a great choice, but I promise to do more testing with it. I was going to bring it with me, but I think I'm just going to throw the EP Pro into a suitcase.
Yeah, I love the EP.
And you know, yeah, it's got
the one we have.
Yeah, it's a slide rule dial. Yeah, it's really easy. You know,
you got
a nice knob for volume and a nice knob for changing the stations. And you know, it's highly selective. I'm pretty impressed with what I'm able to pick up on it.
And then last night when you were talking about the pocket radio, you were saying there are 5 presets. Actually, there are more than that. There's a button you can push. You go into banks of presets.
Oh. Okay.
And Gary does that for me. I think he's got because you go into what you do is you push this button and then you press the number of the bank you want to go into and it gives you a little beep.
Okay.
And so you can, you know, you can have much more than 5. I thought people should know that. So,
interesting. You know. It says on the copy they gave me 5, and I thought there were more. I just looked them up while we're speaking. Yeah, shame on them, whoever wrote the copy. It has 55 presets, 25 for AM and 25 for FM and 5 for NOAA.
Yeah, so, you know, I just thought people might want to know that. And,
yeah, in case they can think of 25 stations.
No, yeah, that's the problem because Gary said, because he's so great. He puts them in order for me, like, you know, by genre or type or whatever. And you know, he says, well, what do you want? And I was trying to think of stuff I wanted on the AM. I'm like, we don't have any decent AM stations here. I mean, you know, KLBJ,
right.
Know.
Right, exactly.
And I'm trying to stay away from a lot of news, but
for all the right reasons, absolutely. Yeah. this is no time to find out what's going on in the world at large.
Yeah, and it's hard for me because I've always been, you know, followed what's going on and things like that. And I do to some extent, but I find myself reading a lot of articles that don't really have, you know, But that brings me to my next thing, which is AI.
Mm-hmm.
And like a lot of the magazines and things have audio of some of the articles that you can read. And it says right in the beginning, you know,
there's AI.
AI. Yeah. But one time I didn't happen to see that. And I thought, well, she's a great reader, but she doesn't have a lot of emotion.
Well, the other thing is sometimes the inflection is just completely off, and the timing, the timing can be hilarious, and it's like it's a wraparound sentence, and and they just pause.
Right?
Yeah, no, you're right. That is absolutely not ready yet.
Some of the voices, like we have this one thing that we read with called Bookshare, and they have just a ton of different voices and things, and some of them are pretty darn good. And but I'm thinking, you know, okay, you can do that, and you can make somebody think that somebody's saying something.
But hang on a minute.
Actress that you're
Hang on. Don't go away. Stay where you are. We're going to find out what's going on in the world at large. And if you're not wanting to know, just don't listen. I understand. Time to go get a Coke or what have you. And we'll pick it up there in moments on WGN Radio.
Let me tell you a story about a boll weevil. Now, some of you may not know, but a boll weevil is an insect, and it's found mostly where cotton grows. Well, now, where they come from, nobody really knows. But this is the way the story goes. Now, the farmer said to the boll weevil, say, I see you on the square. The boll weevil said to the farmer, say, yep. My whole darn family's here. We gotta have a home. We gotta have a home. Then the farmer said to the boll weevil, said, why'd you pick my farm? And the boll weevil just laughed at the farmer and said, well, we ain't gonna do you much harm, but we're looking for a home. Then the boll weevil spotted him a lightning bug. And he said, hey, I'd like to make a trade with you. Because you see, if I was a lightning bug, said, oh, I'd search the whole night through, just searching for a home. Oh, I'd have me plenty of homes. Then the boll weevil called
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And yes, Brooke Benton, it was George, actually Bill in Wisconsin, who thought it was by George Benson. No, it was Brooke Benton, and that's an alternate take, but it's a pretty nice one, actually. 1961 on Mercury, the boll weevil song. And so he said, I want to hear by George Benson. I thought, could he have done that? You know, because he did a lot of weird things. No, he couldn't have, but Brooke Benton did, and well. All right, now I want Fran to hang on here. Don't go away, Fran. And I say that because, you know, I default to new callers because they don't have the patience to hang on very long. It's just the way it works. So Pete is a first-time caller, and he is in Minnesota. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, I love listening to you when I could pick you up at night, and I was telling your person that answers the calls there that it's kind of like a walk through history. So I'm Gen X, born 69. I'm familiar with some of the songs and stuff, but I didn't really know the history of the singers. And when I listen to you guys, it's kind of neat history. And I kind of got thinking, you know, listening to it, a lot of the World War II generations disappearing and or almost gone. Mm-hmm. And now the baby boomers, a lot of them are starting to disappear. And I call them pre-boomers. I don't know what else. They're not quite World War II, but they're disappearing. So it's kind of a walk through history when you talk about a lot of this stuff, and it's pretty interesting. I'm a historian, so I just love listening to you guys. So,
well, I'll tell you, Minneapolis certainly has its share of stories when it comes to rock and roll, because that's where that's where the Heiliker brothers were, Amos Heiliker And they were the distributor for all the independent labels throughout the central Midwest. In fact, they had their own label, Soma, which was just Amos spelled backwards, and The Castaways, Liar Liar was on it and stuff like that. But a lot more came out of the Twin Cities than people realized.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah, I always know Minnesota's kind of had a rich music history. Everybody thinks, obviously, the modern stuff like Prince and stuff. But, yeah, there's a lot more to it than that that goes back, and I'm aware of that.
Yeah, and some of it, I was going to say, some of it really not well known because it's not about the artists. It was about the distribution, about records that otherwise wouldn't have been played. So, the Heilecker brothers weren't well known outside of the music industry, but, boy, within it, they were power brokers.
That's pretty interesting because I've never heard of them.
Uh-huh.
He's the cat. Here the cat's meowing. He's saying hello.
Oh, hey. All right. So, I'd meow back. All
Charlie.
Right. No, that's good.
It's Charlie. He's pretty excited to see me. So I've been gone a couple of days. So.
Yeah. Well, that's the nice thing about animals. No matter what, they miss you terribly and are thrilled when you're back.
Yep. Yeah. The thing about cats is once in a while when you first come in, they kind of hide until they figure out it's you. It's You know, a dog usually greets you. A cat's kind of like, is that really you?
Right.
Once they figure it out, they're coming over to say hi. So, but yeah, no, I appreciate your show. I've been listening to it. You know, you're very interesting and very enlightening, and I appreciate the knowledge you're sharing.
So. Well, I'm delighted you called, and I hope you're going to do it again, because I like it more when I'm talking to people like you than when I'm talking to myself.
Yeah, I hear you there.
All right. Well, thanks. Good to meet you, Pete.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Take care.
All right. So we all met Pete. That's nice. But yeah, Amos Heilecker, the Heilecker brothers, they were an absolute powerhouse as far as that goes. And there were a lot of other things, too. I mean, after all, K-Till came out of the Twin Tundras. All right, back to Fran and Austin. All right.
So, oh, my God, K-Tel.
Yes. Oh, yes. And, all that telemarketing of music is, you know, just horrendous when you think about that.
Oh, yeah. I remember one time I bought a couple of albums, and I was real happy because I loved the songs that were on them. I got them home. They didn't sound anything like it. Sometimes it was I don't know where they get these takes, because sometimes it would be the same group.
No, it is the same group.
Say.
Exactly. It is the same group, and it's usually just alternate takes that wind up being licensed. And, the thing with K-Tel that got me was when they put out a ton of songs on one album, they would just sort of shave them. You know, you'd get about a minute and a half. And that'd
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, and they would put it way when I had people help me buy records.
Yeah.
I learned look and see, because they would put it like K-Tel, but it might be buried under or in little corner somewhere, or and not only that, I learned that if it's too good to be true, it probably is. If it's got too many songs on it that I like, they're probably not the original take that I want to hear.
That's right.
I just heard that
the Brooke Benton.
Gotta Have a Home.
Yeah,
and I
like,
love the original.
So do I.
And first I thought, that's not Brooke Benton.
Oh,
what
it is.
That?
It absolutely is Brooke Benton.
But it was. I could tell after a while.
But
that,
no, it's nothing. All right, nothing beats the original 45s, but when I'm pulling them quickly, I don't have time to sample them to know what I've got. So it's like,
I understand.
It's a surprise to me more often than anybody who's listening. But yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking, I never knew Benson did that. Like,
you're right.
No,
right.
That can't be right.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And that,
George Benson?
Yeah, it hit me when I got off the air, because he said Bow Weevil, and of course it's Bowl, B-O-L-L. But, I thought, Benson? And then, oh, wait a minute, it's close to Benton. That must be what he wants. So,
yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, K-Tel, actually the guy who formed that was a Canadian, and he was one of those guys exactly like the Vegematic guy, all right? Exactly like that.
Yeah.
And he started, you know, selling this like Teflon pan and all that. And then around 66, he got into music. And at first it was like 25 country hits, you know, just and, you know, this became huge, the direct to the consumer stuff. And but KSTEL stands for Kives Television because it was Philip Kives.
Oh, okay.
In case there's
and
ever
didn't
a quiz.
They go by some other names as well, but it was still the same BS.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Various labels, you betcha, and which was so common. Audioscope, Barebones. I'm trying to think of what else, but KSTEL was the big one. Arrival, Dance Flavor. I loved that one. You know, then they had a kiddie division, KidTEL. There were several. And there still is a KSTEL. They're not, you know, looking at physical record sales anymore, but there still is. But with the compilation albums, they did it in series, which was bad enough. The Super Hit Series, the Dynamic Hit Series, the Number One Hit Series. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. And, yeah. Unfortunately, and then I thought, okay, if the price is too cheap and there's too many songs, no. I'm not going to get it.
well, of course, you know, and that was very big in the 50s, of course, with all the plastic makers. The guys who returned from World War II were independent businesses, and they had little plastic makers. They figured out that they could press kiddie records. Well, that were, you know, those little kiddie records everybody had. Well, after that, what they realized was they could do these sound-alikes. And so, like, Promenade and Hits and Tops and all that, where you six records for 29 cents or whatever. Well, of course, you know, it wasn't by any group you'd ever heard of. But the interesting thing on that is some of the people who sung those sound-alikes actually went on to become stars, and some of the people who sung it had been stars. So it's pretty weird what's on those things. But I kept as many as I could. And I remember one of the songs was Walk Like a Man, which of course came out when the Four Seasons did. And they said it was by the Cellos, which they spelled C-H-E-L-L-O-S. I thought, okay then. So, you know, it was always it was always like that. You know, they would never claim that it was the actual act. But a very interesting array of people who sung those.
My poor mother, who didn't know, you know, if she, I'd ask for a certain album or something, or ask for a certain song for, you know, Christmas or for my birthday or whatever, and she would come home with these things that were not what I wanted.
Right.
But she didn't know she didn't know the difference.
Of course not.
But it kind of circles me back around to AI, because I have kind of a love-hate relationship with it, because we just got new phones that have AI intelligence, and they can, I was resistant for a long time. I said, no, I don't want a phone without a home button.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to do this, and I don't want this AI crap,
right,
you know, and all
right.
this. And, but it is just, it's, so I haven't scratched the surface with what we can do with it yet, but it's so helpful. They have ways that you can, you know, find out what's around you. You can, you know, there are places you can call where they have volunteers that will do that, but with this, you don't even sometimes have to do that. And there's just a lot of things that it does that are really great, and yet I think, you know, every time I go on, like, Messenger or something, it says, use AI to help you write. AI to help you write. I'm like, I want, you know, I have my own, I've always wanted to be a writer and all this kind of stuff. So I've got my own writing style. I don't, you know.
Right.
I don't need AI to help me write. And, you know, like, I was reading your book, and one of the things I love about it is that, you know, no matter who's, you know, because I've got, you know, automated voice reading it. But if I just forget about that, it's like I'm listening, you know, it's your voice. It's definitely, you know, I mean, not your physical voice, but it's, you know, it's written. It's,
yeah, I write like I
know,
talk.
It's like I'm
exactly.
listening to And, yeah, okay, AI can do that. But I'm thinking, okay, you've got AI actors now, AI, you know, what are we going to have? Our books all written by AI? You know, all and what about, you know, things like talent? I think of, you know, some of the best singers are the ones who just put their heart and soul into what they do. There's no heart and soul in AI.
You know, but with the algorithm, they may get there. Because if you remember when CDs first came out, those of us who loved our oldies and went back to good old tube radios and all that, the original CDs, the algorithm had no warmth. No matter what they tried to do, it was just sterile that way. Well, now, CDs, you know, they can be as warm as you like. Some of those tracks are pretty damn good. So they'll evolve to that. There's no doubt that they will. But, you know, what I find funny, you know, obviously owning radio stations, you're on everybody's mailing list in the world who wants to sell you this, that, or the other thing. And so my favorite lately, of course, exactly, about twice a week I get emails how AI is going to make my commercial copywriting a snap. In other words, they want me, just use AI to write my copy. I'm like, I'm from Globe, Arizona. You know, that didn't, absolutely not, you know. So, but yeah, they're peddling it, and I'm sure somebody's buying it.
And, you know, so it's like, okay, now we have, I mean, you know, everything, so many things sound the same these days, but there's kind of a schism, like in the blind community with audio description.
Right.
And I'm kind of on the outs. Well, I'm, you know, I'm one of the dissenting people because they don't like, I forget what they call it, but they use like an AI thing to do the description. And I kind of like it on that because it doesn't put any emotion in it. It just tells you what's going on. I can put that in, you know. And I'm thinking if, you know, if you have this, oh God, no, I can't remember what they're calling it, but it's got, what do they call it? Anyway, so they're doing a lot of these descriptive audio things with that. Of course, the voice talent is getting upset, and they use a lot of blind people to do those. And so they're losing jobs, and they're getting upset, and I understand that. But at the same time, I think, okay, if, you know, because what I want is I want the old shows described. I want anything that can be on TV, I want it to be described.
Right.
And so, you know, a lot of the old shows that I would like to have, they're not going to pay a voice actor to come in and do,
well, of course not,
you know, some of those shows. So if you, and those same people who are saying, we don't like this, I think it's TTS or whatever it's called. We don't like this, and we hate it, and it's, you know. And I said, but you know, if you want more audio description, then
this is what you
would like
get.
It because if you want everything, you know, more things audio described, maybe, you know, they can use actual voice actors for the newer shows, but they can go back and do a lot of shows that were never described. And, you know, cause I've watched stuff without it being described for many years. And it's weird cause I've gone back and watched some movies that I saw early that were not described and they've been described, and it's like watching a totally different movie. But it's, you know, I'm telling them, well, if you want more audio description, then you want this TTS.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it is, text-to-speech. Yeah, TTS.
Right.
But anyway, you know, I'm just, oh, you know, you're keeping blind people out of jobs. And
oh, I know.
You know,
I know.
And TTS is so cold and, you know, so forth. But I like it because it's almost like I forget it's there. I hear it.
Right.
And I know what's going on.
Oh,
but
hang on a minute.
I don't
hang
want...
a minute. John, okay. John's coming with a whip. Don't go away. All right, stay right where you are. All right, and we'll pick it up there after the news on WGN Radio.
Groovy people, I like to to be around groovy, groovy people. I don't like nobody that's got an ego. I don't like to sit around and hold a conversation with somebody who don't know where he wants to go. Give me the simple life, full of fun and joy. Can't you see I'm just a big old country boy? And I like groovy people. I'm talking about groovy down home people. I don't like nobody that's got an attitude, walking around with their nose in the air. Them kind of people I just can't use. To be relaxed with my mind at ease. The best thing in life is all I want for me. So give me some groovy people. I said groovy, groovy people. Talking about groovy, 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 groovy people.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Lou Rawls, 1976. Philadelphia International and Groovy People. And at the end of the show last night, there were still two people hanging on we hadn't gotten to. And I said, well, hold on, I'll get your requests. And one of them was, in fact, Herb from Elgin, who said, I want to hear Lou Rawls, Groovy People. I said, you will. And so hopefully he's still listening. So we will get to Ken and Jack and Rita and Eduardo, but we're talking to Fran and Austin, which is always a pleasure.
Now the listener, Johnny.
Say what?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. I love that. That's one of my favorite Lou Rawls songs.
Me too.
And I love him, but that's one of my favorites. That and, there are so many, but yeah. The ones that they play all the time, like, oh, well, you'll never find.
Right, I know.
I'm like, I get tired of that.
Exactly. Oh. I'm the same way. It's like, don't do this to me. Yeah.
Yeah, play Groovy People or Dead End Street or something.
Yes, Dead End Street is a wonderful song. Makes a lousy bumper because the intro is so long, but it's great.
Yeah, anyway, I really enjoyed hearing that, so thank you to whoever requested it.
That was Herb and Elgin. Oh, my pleasure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And, but I guess, you know, I've kind of run the gamut about AI and that kind of thing, and well, I see you have other callers waiting.
Yeah, and we'll watch it because it's going to be very interesting.
It's kind of scary in a way. I just hate to think of all our talent and movies and books and everything being done by AI.
Well, you know, and the most frightening is, like I say, the abused people who are forming relationships with AI things. And then,
yeah, you know, I can't understand that because when I, you know, I've had kind of, well, Gary and I met on a phone group. But, you know, one of the things I like in a relationship is, you know, somebody who's quick on the uptake, has a sense of humor, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, okay, well, you can find an AI person that can tell you what you want to hear about, you know, maybe you're beautiful or, you know, whatever, but where's that spontaneity? Where's that comeback, you know?
That'll be there. That'll absolutely be there. But I still say, I want to know their real flesh and blood. You know, there's something about it.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, at the same time, I love what AI is enabled me to do. And, you know,
sure.
I argue with people about, you know, the text-to-speech stuff, and we can have more descriptive audio, and they say, well, we can just hire more actors.
Oh,
no,
right.
They're not going to do that. They're going to do it on the cheap.
Well, right, exactly. You know, this hire more actor stuff, they'll be waiting the rest of their lives. But it'll be a shakeout, and there'll be a few disasters before it finally settles into some type of codification. But I'm glad I'm not world famous. You know, I'm glad I'm not Vanna White right now or anybody else.
Right.
You know,
although they can take ordinary people and juice. I mean, that's how they,
yes,
they
but who
scam
wants,
people into thinking their grandkids are in trouble.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. But who wants to watch them? I mean, if somebody who's got a name who, you know, suddenly is being portrayed in ways that make themselves cringe, you know, that's not going to happen to you or I, because who the hell are we? You know, it's but people,
yeah, exactly.
People
right.
with name value, man, I feel for them.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, like I never before in my life felt sorry for Chelsea Clinton. But I tell you, these days, you know, when you see what's online, it's like, oh, God. Yeah, so.
I haven't seen anything about her, but I don't go on there as much as I used to. I had to wean myself off of it. You know, it's like, oh, but I still hear enough to give me nightmares.
Right.
But
exactly. Well, it's always wonderful to hear from you, and thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Roy.
Okay, bye. All right, so 888-876-5593. Rita is in Harwood Heights. So, Rita, how are you doing? Rita? Rita didn't wait. Oh, and it says, I think it says that she hadn't been well. Yeah, I was telling John, I've gotten to the point now where I can see the capital letters of the names, but I can't see any of the comments anymore. So, I'm sort of fighting with that. But in any event, Ken's got some jokes. Bet she's still there. So, Ken.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
You know, Raleigh, years ago, a simpler version of AI when it comes to music. Remember, some groups lip-sync their songs because they sound terrible live.
Oh, and you know, wasn't that interesting, you know, in the 80s? When
the Beach Boys... I saw live twice. Do not sound like the record.
No, well, they never do.
Jerry Butler, too.
Right. No,
terrible.
Oh, absolutely. That, in fact, there's only a couple groups I know that sound
right.
like the records. One was the Dupree's. I don't care when you saw them in concert, they sounded just like their records. The other was
right.
the Jive 5, Gene Pitt's
really?
Group. Oh, man, that chills run down my spine the first time I saw Gene Pitt in person. Goes, oh, my God, it is the record. He did What Time Is It? And it sounded like I was listening to the 45.
Really?
So it doesn't happen often, but it does. But, you know, you mentioned, remember, it hadn't been that long ago, Milli Vanilli, all the trouble they were in for lip-syncing their stuff.
No.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know if they, like, had a Grammy rescinded or something.
Well, that's cheating to lip-sync.
Yeah, well.
And also, the groups now are using AI to, while they're singing a song.
Yeah.
Like, this one group was singing a Little Anthony song, and they put Little Anthony's voice into the lead singer. Go, hey, wait a minute. You guys are cheating here.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, this Milli Vanilli deal, and they were German,
you know. You're putting some in there to sound like the Little Anthony.
Right. Of course. Of course. But these
not
two,
exactly, but it sounds
right.
like it.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well,
I mean, that's cheating.
Just like there was a woman who sounded exactly why can't I think of his name? Frankie Lyman. Sounded identical to Frankie Lyman. And her Pearl McKinnon. And, you know, when she was in the Kodaks, oh, gee, oh, gosh, sounded exactly like Frankie Lyman. But with Milli Vanilli, there were these two guys, and they were the public face, but they never sang.
Yeah.
And they won Grammys.
Right, right.
And
yeah,
so they revoked them. They revoked them in 1998, I think.
Right.
Or sometime. Actually, it probably would have been in the 80s. But, yeah, they revoked their Grammys because there were these two guys, and they were never singing a word of it.
Yeah. And with the CDs, some of the hits, it sounds like it wasn't the final take. It's the song.
Oh, it is. Oh, no, it isn't.
It's not the final take. It sounds like it.
It's worse than that. It's absolutely worse
than
that.
It's like they're trying to find, that's the sound we want to hear.
Well, here's what it is very often, and this is just breaks my heart.
You got to watch. You got to make sure it's the original hits.
Well, no, and the original mastering and mixing of it. This is where the problem.
Oh, yeah, they don't say that.
Right.
This is where
the problem is. Like all the Motown CDs, they just suck pond water. They gave them a solectomy because some recording engineer remixed all this. No, leave it the way it was.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
No.
That's cheating.
Yeah, anytime you see remastered, run like the plague.
Right. It'll say original hits.
Yeah.
It sounds like they were trying to hit the right sound before they released the original.
Well, they were tweaking it for, you know, for...
They were tweaking it, right.
Right, and I understand that because the people tweaking it never really heard the original hits on an AM radio on a Ford car speaker, you know,
right.
So they don't have that relationship to it. So they were going for a different sound, but what they don't understand is those of us who love those records love the original mix. You know, you're not going to improve on Snuff Garrett. Leave it the way it was.
Well, the Beach Boys, they were able to do that in the studio, tweak it, Brian Wilson, but they could not do it live.
No, well, very, 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 very few people can do it live. That's what I say.
He can do it. He's got the studio to tweak everything, and some groups, Carpenters, double and triple track their voice.
Oh, well, had to make sure. Them.
And if you ask them to sing that right in front of you now, it's not going to sound the same.
Well, that's right. That's why I say I only know two, the Duprees and the Jive Five.
Yeah,
nobody
you were
else.
Telling me.
Nobody else.
And that, and Katel, I think it was Ron Popeil was the name of the guy.
Well, yeah, Ron Popeil from Ronco. Yes, Ron Popeil.
From Ronco. He, yeah. did, he did Mr. Microphone,
right.
Two Knives.
Right. Yeah, no.
He did all kinds. He got started. I heard him tell the story. He got started when he saw an ad for, used to send through the mail for the Worm Farms.
Right.
Right, he bought it from the guy for like $400, the whole thing. He first started off selling through the mail the Worm Farms. You have to send for the Worm separately.
Right, right. No, absolutely. Yeah. And, of course, the one that everybody loved to make fun of was the Beg-O-Matic and all of that. But, of course, he was so famous for, but wait, there's more. And
that's right.
Yeah, he was real close to Steve Bryant. So Steve and I would talk about him from time to time. But some of those products, I remember when he brought out the food dehydrator. I think I might have even said this to Steve. I said, wait a minute, that's just the backseat of my car. You don't need a gadget for
right.
that. Yeah, he had so many wonderful things like that. And so, yeah, sadly, he's no longer with us. The one that
you
I thought
used to get extra, but wait. If you order now, you get this extra.
Right. Well,
extra
that's pot. Right. That's, but wait, there's more. But wait, there's more. Of course. That's the way that worked. But the guy, Vince Offer, I think was his real name. Now I'm trying to think of what the Sham Wow. That was it.
Yeah. I saw him at a show one time, Sham Wow.
Yeah. And, He was quite interesting when I watched those Sham Wow things and the slap chop and everything else.
Well, he started off with the mop.
Right, right, uh-huh, absolutely. The Sham Wow absorbent towel.
Yeah, he's a character live because he goes, with the Sham Wow, you can wipe up. Everybody makes mistakes. How do you think you got all those kids?
Right.
You know, he'd throw his jokes in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let's see. I got a couple jokes.
Okay.
And a record request.
Okay.
All right. The first joke is, what did the female chromosome say to the male chromosome?
What?
You think I look fat in these jeans?
Oh, you did. You didn't know. Okay. Next.
The next one is a little. It's a little adulty, but that's nothing dirty. What are the three words you don't want to hear while you're making love?
What?
Honey, I'm home.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that the truth? Yeah, boy.
Yeah, I guess I could get away with that one.
Absolutely. That's great.
You want one more joke? Or
absolutely, go for it.
Okay. Little kid comes home and mom goes, where you been, Johnny? This little kid's 7, 9 years. I've been to the strip club. He goes, mom goes, to the strip club? Why'd you go there? There's nothing you haven't seen already, you know. Oh, yeah. What was that? Dad.
Oh, no. Oh, no. All righty, then.
Done, but funny. Oh, I want a song by Lenny Welsh. Not Since I Fell for You. The other song about a woman. I can't think of it right now.
Well, my favorite by him, of course, is I Need Someone. But he,
that's it.
Okay.
That's it. Me too.
Yeah, okay.
Too. I like that the best. I Need it. And let's see, what else I want to say? Jerry Butler was terrible. I saw him 20 years ago live. It was terrible.
Yeah, Unfortunately, I always hated going to concerts, and I would have to for work, depending on where I was working, you know, go and MC stuff and all that. And I just never would sit there in front. And John never understood that. They're like, especially when he said, "Oh, the Manhattans are coming." I said, "No, they're not going to sing anything on Carnival. I guarantee it. Let alone does it not sound like it. That will not be in their repertoire."
Well, one of their album I got that I like, it's called Doo Wop and Bebop.
Okay.
At the album, that's a good one. They sing Heart's Desire.
Okay.
Which, you know, they do the Avalons, which is great. And,
right.
That's the album I got. And
what label is it on?
What's that?
What label is it on?
Oh, I would have to look, I have to go in the bedroom and look at the album. It's okay. Called Bebop, Doo Wop and Bebop.
Really? I want to see what this is.
Yeah, the Heart's Desire, they do that really good.
Bop Doo Wop. Bop Doo Wop.
It's called Bop Doo Wop?
No, that was Manhattan Transfer.
This was over 20 years ago.
No, that was Manhattan Transfer, not the Manhattan. I got to find that because I don't know. Like the Manhattan Transfer had that album, but the Manhattans, I don't know. And of course, I their albums, I don't know that well anyway. But my favorite stuff was all on Carnival, and then I didn't mind the stuff that was on Deluxe. But interesting. I'll look for that album. Good tip. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Have a great 3 weeks.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so, Rita called back. Rita, don't go away this time because we'll talk in moments right after this on WGN Radio.
I know I need someone to hold each night, someone to squeeze real, real tight. Darling, can that someone be you? I know I need someone to love each day, even though dark clouds come our way. Darling, can that someone be you? I don't know what it was that got me this way. Maybe it's because you're so sweet and kind. Or maybe it was the night I held you so tight. Or it could be my heart knows more than I.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Lenny Welch, I Need Someone. It was a B-side, and great, great song. You Don't Know Me was the A-side, but and he wrote I Need Someone, too. It's just a fine song. All right, so Rita called back from Harwood Heights. Let's see what's up. So, Rita, welcome back to WGN Radio. Rita.
Hello.
How are you? Hiya, Rita. Are
Hello.
You? Yes.
Hello.
Hi. All right. Do you hear me? Maybe not. Oh, so let's put Rita on hold, and we'll talk to her after the news. John will figure out why Rita isn't hearing us, because I'm certainly hearing her. Jack in St. Charles had some requests. Jack, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, what do you want to hear?
Elvis Presley's Mystery Train.
Elvis Presley what?
Mystery Train.
Mystery Train. Okay, sure.
And Dickie Doolin Dodes, Click Clack.
I played that last week or so.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, well, that's a little too soon. That's a little too soon for that.
Well.
All right.
Okay.
We'll get you Mystery Train. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Sure.
All right. So, happy to play Mr. Train. But, yeah, we've done a lot of Jerry Granahan. Yeah, Mr. No Shmoose, please. who also was a Dickie Doo of Dickie Doo and the Don'ts. Click Clack did so well, they had to have a group. Why not? All right, so now I think that Rita's going to call back, but I think the news is going to happen as well. And then we got Stacy in Algonquin, and we got Ken in Chicago. Well, we did talk to Ken, so let me release Ken's line because it's full lines at the moment. So in case you want to call in the unlikely event you would like to have a conversation, I'll figure out how to free up a line. So, there we go. So 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Today. Today, pain became a real life hurting thing, and a choir of loneliness sang me a song. Now I know just what it means to lose a lifetime dream. 'Cause today I can feel it touching home. No longer do I wonder why men have lost their minds or wind up in a jungle of flashing neon signs. Now I know just how long a man can last when love is gone. 'Cause today I can feel it touching home.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Jerry Lee Lewis. And that was Debbie and Raleigh who wanted to hear that on Mercury in 1971. Dallas Frazier wrote that with Doodle Owens, and Jerry Kennedy produced it. And country like it was meant to be. All right, so let's see. 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. We have Dave in Chicago. What's up tonight, Dave?
Hey, good evening. Good evening. And I wanted to talk about music, and I have had a couple of requests as well.
Okay.
Having to do with what I'm going to say about this. Oh, my biggest hobby is music. I'm also a ham radio operator.
Okay.
But I love all kinds of music, actually, a whole wide variety of music. But I love garage.
Okay.
What I call garage music, it's stuff like The Castaways' Liar Liar, and Syndicate of Sound's Little Girl.
Okay.
And Hey Joe by the Leaves.
Right.
And that's all garage.
Okay.
We didn't call it garage then, but it's called garage now.
Yeah, absolutely. Put question mark and the Mysterians in the mix while you're at it.
Oh, yeah. You know, these groups did others. I've got an Alexa box, and I've been able to unleash a whole bunch of stuff.
Sure.
And the Castaways did a song called New York's a Lonely Town, and in that song, they sound like the Beach Boys. They sound Beach Boys-like.
I don't think that's the Castaways.
Yeah, it was. It is, The Castaways.
Not the hit. I didn't know if they covered it. I was trying to look that up while we speak. But the Trade Winds did New York's a Lonely Town, and that was Anders and Poncia. They were a songwriting duo.
I don't know. When I tell my Alexa to play The Castaways, they play that one.
Well, it must be an album cut then. Let me see if I can find that, because the hit is The Trade Winds.
The Trade Winds.
Yes, absolutely.
Because, you know, I knew something was funny because I don't know how they got that sound unless they had membership changes.
Okay.
They might have had membership changes. I don't know. They did another song called Sam.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of garagey. And they did other stuff like.
Yes. Okay. It's on a compilation album, and this was I don't even know that it was ever released as a track originally, but it was on the best surf compilation ever, and it was on CD3. And here it is. But no, that's not the hit. Not the Castaways. It's the Trade Winds had the hit.
Huh. Well,
I guarantee that's right.
Well, I'll tell Alexa to play the Trade Winds and see what I get.
Yeah, well, if you remember when it was a hit, you'll know instantly. But yeah, Liar Liar, they recorded that at K-Bank, which was right in Minneapolis, and they had formed in 63, and it was...
Well, they were from Minnesota anyway.
Well, they're from the Twin Tundras, absolutely, and it was... They went to the Heilecker brothers, that's who owned Soma, because, like I say, Soma is Amos spelled backwards, so Amos Heilecker. And so, the success of Liar Liar led to them being in the beach movie Bikini World. That's why they were on that surf compilation.
Hmm.
And they never released an album. Well, I'm not surprised about that, but nonetheless, and they you know, broke up and all that. But they, when it became a big craze again, oldies and all that, they sort of reformed. But
well, there was a couple of guys that formed a group called Crow.
Of course, Evil Woman. Of course.
How many guys from the Castaways recorded did that? How many formed that group is what I'm wondering.
How many Castaways were in Crow?
That's
an interesting question. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any information on that.
Oh, yeah, there is. Absolutely. You know, not my favorite genre, so I can't claim to be knowledgeable to any real degree, but...
Well, Crow sounded rather interesting. They also did a song called Cottage Cheese.
Yeah.
I don't know if that made the charts, but Evil Woman made the charts for sure in 1970, I believe it was, because I was hearing it then.
So, Evil Woman absolutely was a hit. I'm just trying to find out, because, you know, when I think of the Castaways, I think about the Donnas, Jim Donna and Bob Donna, but there were a couple other, I think, Ralph Hintz and Rick Snyder, but let me see who was in, Crow, because I can probably find this out for you.
That would be great. I'd be interested in finding that, you know, because I'd... You know, being I'm interested in all this stuff, there was a British group that did a Liar Liar too. They were called the Breakaways.
Yeah, they did pretty much everything. I don't see commonalities here. Crow was also, as you know, Minneapolis, but it was Dave Wagner, Dick Wigand, and his brother Larry, and Denny Craswell, and Kink Middlemist. So there's no direct tie-in.
So, there was maybe only a couple of guys from the Castaways that
There were no guys from the Castaways who were in Crow.
Well, that's what I had heard.
Well, I don't care if you heard it. It's not on the music credits list.
I knew that they couldn't have sounded anything like the Castaways. Right. Crow didn't sound anything.
Now,
like
I'll
the
tell
Castaways.
You. I'll tell you one thing. Like I say, these guys came back together, all reformed when the oldies circuit was big. So it wouldn't be surprising that one of them who sang with one group would be singing with the other group when they were, you know, 30 years later around. But when they were actually making records, there's no tie-in other than they both from Minneapolis.
How did they? Who was the person that did the? Or what was the AI? Thing with the girl that sounded like Frankie Lyman.
Oh, that was not AI. That was actually real. Let me get her, Pearl McKinnon, and she was not trying to sound like Frankie Lyman. Pearl McKinnon just sounded like Frankie Lyman, and in fact, it was kind of funny because when I used to do oldies quizzes on the radio in the '60s, I'd always play this, and people would immediately call Frankie Lyman because they wouldn't know that it was Pearl McKinnon of the Kodaks. But here's
Pearl
how
McKinnon.
Yeah, here's how it sounds.
I want you to love me. There's no one above me. Love me the way you love
me. And it's a woman.
Yeah. Did you ever hear that song, Betty Davis Eyes?
Oh, unfortunately, that was a very big hit.
The woman who sang that, I'm trying to remember her name. I think it was Kim Carnes.
Yes, and she actually had, I never cared for that, but earlier on, she had an actual good record that no one ever played. I mean, I did on the radio, but you know, nobody else did, I don't think.
I was going to tell you was she sounded like Rod Stewart.
Well, I could see it, but my favorite by her was Let Your Love Come Easy. Had you ever heard that?
Don't think I have.
All right, well, let me let you hear a little of that.
Let your love come be.
watch it come down again and again. And that's before she was famous.
Oh, that is interesting. Because in the song Betty Davis Eyes, she sounded a lot like Rod Stewart. In fact, that's who I thought it was.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, yeah. That's great.
So I thought it was very interesting at the time.
And Jackie D. Shannon wrote Betty Davis Eyes.
Oh, really?
Yep. So did Donna White. So did Donna White.
By the
Weiss,
way, who wrote the songs for the Castaways and some of the other groups like that?
Oh, I think they were probably writing them themselves.
Oh.
But let me pull that 45, because I've got that 45. I've got that Soma 45 here somewhere. If I don't find it now, I will later. But I'm pretty sure that is in a stack here. Let's see. Not there. Because it's a yellow record, but it came out in 65. But
okay, yeah, it came out in 65.
It was credited to James Donna, so one of the Donna boys. Yeah, they wrote it.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was a real hit in 1965. I was 11 years old then.
No, well, somebody had to be. Yes, it was a real hit. And like I say, it helped that they had the distribution. That's what it was, because, Soma, owned by the Heiliger brothers, they were the biggest distributor in the Midwest.
Wow.
So.
Boy, I'm finding out a lot of things I never knew.
Oh, yeah. No, if you're ever interested in Twin Tundras, like I used to say, Minneapolis, St. Paul, local music, you got to know the Heiliger brothers. You can find out all about them.
Oh, there's another thing I heard. You know the Shadows of Night?
Of course.
They were a Chicago band. And a friend of mine that I met on ham radio, he was telling me that they got really popular in L.A., in Los Angeles.
Well, both Shadows of Night and them were at the same time dueling for Gloria. And Shadows of Night did a cover of Gloria. And, they had other things like Oh Yeah and Bad Little Woman. But Gloria was what they were mostly known for. But occasionally you'd see them on the Strip. And at the Whiskey or something like that, because they were always looking for people. The Association used to play there before they were the Association. They were the Men at that time. So, yeah.
Oh, the Association. I don't know what I would classify them, the Association. I wouldn't classify them as garage or psychedelic.
No, neither. They were just a pop band, as far as...
I'm into psychedelic music, too.
Well, somebody has to be.
real heavy psychedelic. I'm into that as well.
Yeah, somebody has to be. And some of that's interesting, especially the stuff that wasn't really well known. There was a group called Street, which was very interesting. So when you're looking around, you can look for some of their stuff.
Street?
Yes.
What kind of band were they?
They were heavy. Absolutely. Psychedelic. Absolutely psychedelic.
Street.
Yeah.
Oh, Maybe I get Alexa to play that.
Most people think of There's One Kind Favor, but that's not the... you can look for that, There's One Kind Favor. But the other one was Strange Town. That's the one. What a strange town. And that's the way it is. It's on YouTube, I'm sure. It's just Street, and then the name of the song is What a Strange Town. And then you'll have to tell me what you think of it.
Yeah, if I can get Alexa to play it.
You can.
Maybe I could, Because I've heard a lot of the unusual stuff that I'm able to get Alexa to play.
Sure.
Did you ever hear of a band called Sons of Adam?
Well, of course.
They're a psychedelic band.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
They were from Baltimore, and then they moved to Los Angeles.
Who, Sons of Adam?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yes, they were a garage group in Baltimore. And they were, again, a regular feature on the Sunset Strip, all those little clubs like Gazzara's and all that. And they were on Decca and Saturday Sun, Feathered Fish, Baby Show the World. This is absolutely not my kind of music, but certainly.
I'm sure it would be my kind of music.
Yeah, right. When they were in Baltimore in the early 60s, they were the Iridescence.
Mm.
So. Yeah, and then they started to get into, by the end of 63, like a lot of groups, they started to get into all the surf music, and they changed their name to the Fendermen, which, of course, you're from Minnesota, so you know about the Fendermen. Obviously not the same Fendermen. And they went to Southern California and did well as far as that goes.
Did you ever hear of Mouse on the Traps?
Well, everybody's heard of Mouse on the Traps.
They sing Bob Dylan songs.
Well, they sing a lot of things.
The lead singer, he kind of sounds like Bob Dylan.
He was from Tyler. They were from Tyler, Texas.
Yeah, they were from Tyler, Texas.
Yeah, and a public execution. Yeah. And so,
oh, yeah.
Right. And so Mouse was actually Ronnie Weiss.
Ronnie Weiss.
Yeah, that was his name.
And he went by the name Mouse, right?
Yes, he was Mouse.
Mouse and the Traps.
Right.
Oh, they were a good garage band, too. What do you think of the Kingsmen?
Well, I always laugh about that, of course, because when everybody thought Louie was dirty, it was just that they couldn't sing. But
you know, the government spent a lot of money. Well,
I know that. Well, and the guy, you've heard the original version, right?
I don't think I've heard the original.
Well, a couple things you got to know. Firstly, it's a Richard Berry song, but Richard Berry ripped it off from a Cuban player who was appearing in Orange County in the 50s, Rene Touzet. And he did a song called El Loco Cha-Cha, okay? And Richard Berry was in the audience, and I'm going to let you hear El Loco Cha-Cha, and I think you're going to find it very familiar. Are you ready?
Okay.
Yeah, so that's where Richard Berry got it, and he admitted it. Of course, Richard Berry, when he was not doing well, made the mistake of selling his royalties for like $100, but he did get them back before he died. But
the riff, the guitar riff, kind of sounds like...
Yeah, it's exactly... So here was the Richard Berry song. What I'm going to play now is what the Kingsmen were trying to emulate. This is what they wanted to sound like.
Oh.
So that was it. That was what the Kingsmen were trying to do.
That is something else.
And the Kingsmen, of course, were not very good. And they were part of Pat O'Day's stable. He was a disc jockey on KJR who used to do all the hops in the tri-state area. So like Merrily Rush and Paul Revere and the Raiders and the Kingsmen and Don and the Good Times and on. But anyway, they're part of all that circuit. When the record came out and the rumor started that there were dirty words, and I love this, by the way, a radio station in Charleston, South Carolina, WTMA, the biggest contest ever, they said, send us a postcard and we'll send you back a list of all the four-letter words in Louie Louie. They were swamped with mail. And, of course, the four-letter words were things like ship and boat, you know. So but they got their four-letter words. But, yes, the FBI investigated it for 2 years, and they finally determined that they didn't know.
Yeah, and they spent all that money trying to investigate.
Of course.
That's crazy.
Of course.
Well, I wonder if the Kings were a lot of these groups teenage. A lot of them were teenage groups, weren't they?
Well, like Don and the Good Times, yeah, he was absolutely a kid. In fact, they were big in Seattle. They had one hit nationally, I Could Be So Good. But anyway, Don and the Good Times had to disband. Don started the group. He was in the Kingsmen. He played on Louie Louie, but his dad wouldn't let him tour because he was only 14.
Oh.
So he was absolutely on Louie Louie. But
Don and the Good Times.
Yeah, yeah. You got to read about Don and the Good Times. Yeah, and
Don and the Good Times.
Yeah, you'll hear. And he did very well, by the way. No pity party for Don. He got into real estate and he's loaded. But in any event, I love that little Don and the Good Times record that they put up, but on Columbia. But yeah, he was one of the Kingsmen, too young to tour. So yeah, some of them were kids and some of them weren't.
How about the castaways? Do you think
No, I know exactly how old they are, but unfortunately, I am going to the news. So I want you to call me again sometime.
Okay.
All right.
Will you, can you play the song?
Which one?
Song?
Liar, Liar?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'll do it for you.
Okay, real good.
All right. Yeah, because it's sitting here. All right, so we'll do that, and then we will hopefully get to you. And Rita called back, so we'll see if we're going to connect on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So there they are, the castaways. And when Jim wrote that, Jim Donna, he actually wrote it with Denny Craswell. And at the time, Jim Donna was 20, Dave asked. Denny was 17. All right. And they wrote this together. In fact, they wrote it on a napkin at a restaurant. And after they broke up, here's the connection to Crow. So Dave was right about that, and I didn't pick up on this, but none of the Donnas or anything, but when they broke up, the drummer, who is Denny, and he was still basically a kid, Dennis Craswell, so he joined Crow. And anyway, at this point, he's back touring with, quote-unquote, the original Castaways, his own group, and so that's the deal. So he and the other kid was 18, I think, 18 or 19. So yeah, between 17 and 20 for the ages on that that group. So yeah, Robert Falshaw, and that's the one I was looking at because I thought if anybody was in Crow, it's probably Bob Falshaw, who was born in 47. So he would have been 18, but it wasn't. It was Dennis Craswell. So there you have it. Now you know more than you ever wanted to know about the Castaways and Crow. And no, we will not be playing Evil Woman. All right, Rita called back. Now let's see. So Rita, are you there? Hello, Rita. Oh, well, eventually we're going to talk to Rita, but I guess it's not done. Said she's been sick. I'm really sorry to hear that. All right. Well, hopefully it will be better. All right. So, let's see what we can do here. Today is the start of Yom Kippur, the High Holy Days, and bottom line, let's find out if Stacy's fasting. So, Stacy, are you fasting?
Hello, Raleigh. Unfortunately, no.
Okay. Well, you got a pass. You're diabetic, so you get a pass on that.
Right. Well, even years ago, my mom said, you know, you don't have to do that. And, you know, she said, you know, you're working, you know. And I worked for two Jewish law firms anyway, and they didn't do it either.
Well, that's so funny. Yeah, well, that's not an excuse in terms of the eyes of the Lord, but that's all right. You know, you're just a day of atonement, so you're going to atone for your sins, or you're written in the book of life for the next year? What's going on?
Well, I'm just trying to stay well.
I hope so.
And No, I have a physical therapist.
Good.
Because I have, you know, like my balance issues. You know, I have my good days and bad days,
of course.
But I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, well, that as long as it's on the whole, it's better than not. That's good news. But I'm glad about the physical therapy because it makes such a difference.
Oh, right, right. And, oh, gosh, I've been trying to hold on, and I want to make sure. Can I have some requests?
Well, let's see what you want. All right, what you want?
Tina Turner, you can pick out whatever one.
Okay.
Johnny Cash.
Okay. How about Don't Take Your Guns to Town for Johnny Cash?
Oh, sure. Whatever you want to pick out.
All right. Alan Jackson.
And okay. Alan Jackson.
Okay. All right. All right.
And how about Frank Sinatra?
Okay. No, I only got another night of this before I'm gone for 3 weeks, so I don't know that I'll get to them all, but I'll get to some of them.
Okay, and just James Brown.
Of course.
Bobby Darin.
Oh, my God. Well, we'll keep this list around because obviously I'll be doing this when I get back. All right, what else?
What about Connie Francis?
Oh, yeah. You betcha.
And no, I'm doing better.
Good.
And the holidays, I try to do, you know, the best I can.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just wanted to wish you and John, you know, a very wonderful trip.
Well, thank you. We're going to try.
And to stay well and stay blessed and everything and stay healthy.
Well, you too. You too.
Oh, yeah, I'm hanging in there.
All right. Well, that's good.
No, we have a lot of, I have a lot of activities here.
Sure.
And I do my walking, and then we have karaoke and parties. And so, no, it's great. I have a lot of friends and everything, and it's fun.
Good. That's the best news of all, that you're not alone and you do have people there and there's something to do. That makes such a difference.
God, I have such fabulous friends. It's really, really nice. And we have a lot of entertainment, too, which is nice.
Yes, absolutely.
For the birthdays, and then they're going to do, now what is the other, what's the other holiday for, it's like where you eat bratwurst and all that stuff.
Oh, okay. We're not talking Jewish holidays. We're talking Oktoberfest.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Oktoberfest. That's right.
Yeah, because I was going to say, oh, my, it's a quiz. All I know is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur after that. I'm sure something comes after it, but I don't know what. But
oh, no, I try to be good with my holidays.
Yeah. Well, you know, I found out about one in August because Alan Sherman had a song about it. And in My Zelda, she took which was the tune of Matilda. It said, it's almost too sad to tell to you. And so she was gone since Tisha B'Av. And I said, well, what the hell is that? And it turned out it was a holiday. So I added that to my repertoire. I know about Tisha B'Av. I don't know what it is, but it's in the Alan Sherman's song, My Zelda.
Well, you know, when my peer actually... today, the first was my dad's birthday.
Uh-huh.
So.
I know the one that comes after Yom Kippur, Sukkot.
Yeah. You're better than me.
Sukkot. That's the one you get to eat, Sukkot. Yeah. So I'm sure that's it. All right. So, there's probably more.
My mom always said, you know, even, you know, when I was working and stuff, she said, I don't want you to fast. She said, you know, because if you take medicine and stuff, you know, you can't. She always told me, no fasting. So she was pretty good with it. You know, I tried to do, you know, the best I could and everything.
Well, yeah. No, I'm sure in the long run it doesn't matter either way. But, you know, some people will, some people won't, and some people will, you know, sit in the temple all day, and some people will just let it pass by, like anything else. Like, just like us C&E Christians, you know, we have Christmas and Easter, except for many of us, we don't even hit those anymore. So I understand.
Well, you just try to do the best you
can. That's it. That's right. Yeah.
And as long as you are good in front of God and everything, I always talk to God and I always bless everybody.
I
hope everybody stays well.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. All right,
so
I will talk to you in a few weeks.
Oh, are you going to still be here tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow night I will be, absolutely.
Okay, if I don't get a chance to talk tomorrow, I wish you and John, wherever, a very, very safe and a very, very blessed 3 weeks you're going to be.
Yes. All right, but I'll be back. It'll be over before you know it.
Okay.
All right.
Stay fabulous and wonderful.
Okay.
And we all love to listen to you.
Well, looking forward to talking to you again soon. All right, Stacey, and I'll play some of your requests. Okay, fine. Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Sure thing. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. So we're going to try Rita again. All right, Rita in Harwood Heights. Are you there now? Okay, I give up. I don't know what to do. I'll put her back on hold. We'd love to talk to Rita. I want to find out, said she's been sick. Want to find out what's wrong. Oh, Herman Elgin, he heard a song. Oh, good, you heard your song.
Yes, I heard my song.
All right.
It was real nice. I appreciate it.
Sure.
And also, yeah, you groovy people, all of them, in your audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, so I enjoyed it.
Good.
And I wish that you and John have a wonderful and a blessed day.
Thanks, you too.
Vacation.
Yeah.
And, I have low vision. I hope Jim is doing okay.
I haven't heard from Jim in a couple days, but yeah, I think most of us are in the low vision club. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, but I enjoy everything. And so can you play, when you get a chance, can you play Aretha Franklin, Respect?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You know, it's not the original. You know, Otis Redding.
Oh.
Otis Redding did it originally.
Yeah.
But you
he did originally.
Yes, he did. But you want Aretha, huh?
Well, you can play Otis Redding.
I'll do either one. I've got them both, believe me. But I just always like to give Otis some credit there, because most people think.
Listen at Otis then.
All right, we'll do that.
Yeah.
I promise.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Thanks, Herb.
All right, and be blessed.
All right,
everybody,
you too.
Walk in love.
All right. Okay, bye.
All right, have a good one.
Good deal. Bye. Yeah. Not that Otis needed that much credit, because after all, he wrote it. So he got the writer's royalties for as long as he was with us, which wasn't long enough. So 888-876-5593. John said, try Rita one more time. So, all right, let's see. And John says, she's there. All right, Rita, are you there? Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Rita, hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay. I don't know why, but my phone kept turning off.
Oh, well, I'm glad it hasn't now. So what's going on?
Oh, well, I've been out of commission for a couple months. That's why I haven't talked with you, because I ended up in the hospital. I was feeling like I maybe had a seizure or something in all that heat wave that we had.
Yeah.
And I took myself to a quick care, and they immediately sent me to the hospital in an ambulance.
Uh-huh.
And I got there, and I was there for about 4 days, and then they released me, and I said, well, what's my diagnosis? And they said, fatigue. And they sent me home.
Whoa.
And they sent me home with the same problem that I had. And I had a home health nurse come, and he was taking my vital signs, and he says, well, my heart rate was only 30 to 40. And he says, you got to go to the hospital. So I went to the hospital again, readmitted, and they put in a pacemaker.
Uh-huh.
But after the pacemaker, most people can just get up and walk and go home, either that or the next day.
Uh-huh.
And with me, I went to stand up on my legs, and I couldn't stand. My legs just didn't work.
Whoa.
And so they went ahead and they said, well, you've got to go home, or you got to sign out, or you got to go to rehab.
Right.
So I ended up across the street from the hospital at a rehab center. And I spent as much time as I could with Medicare pain.
Right.
But then they said I had to go home.
Right.
So I went home, but I mean, it was, and when I was in there, I could not get any AM stations.
Oh, yeah. Some buildings, that'll be that way. Yep.
Yeah, no AM station, so I couldn't listen at all. And I went through withdrawal because I listened to WGN all the time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I'm in so much pain.
Oh.
I have excruciating pain. And the only time I tried to go there with one foot.
Where's the pain?
It's in both of the knees and in my spine.
Do they know what's causing it?
No, I don't. And they're sending me, you know, I'm supposed to have a home health nurse again and possible physical therapy again.
Yeah.
They did as much as they could at that rehab place, apparently, but I never could really walk there with a walker. I was doing very poorly. So they sent me home with a walker.
Yeah.
And last night I had to go. I live alone.
Oh.
And I have a little house here, but I had to go out and get some food. So I managed to get into the car with the walker and everything. And then I went to a store and got a few items. And then I thought, well, I can't carry these groceries up to my door with a walker. And so I called the police.
Oh.
And the policeman came over and he helped me up to my door.
Isn't that nice?
And got the groceries into the house.
That's very nice.
Yeah, but I don't know why I've got this pain.
Somebody should be looking at this. They should be doing diagnostic tests to rule out things, if nothing else.
I know, and I've called my doctor. I was supposed to call my primary doctor when I, got home.
Right.
And I did, but she's booked up until the end of December.
What? Well, somebody, this is an emergency as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's what I told him.
Right. I don't know if you should be going back to the emergency room, but, pain is the body's way of saying something's going wrong here, and you want to know what it is. And, they may not be able to tell you, but at least they can rule a lot of things out that could be pretty dangerous stuff. So, there's a lot of diagnostic tests, everything from CT scans to MRIs and everything in between. I would think somebody would be motivated to want to get to the bottom of this.
I should have been born in a bubble because I'm so allergic to everything.
Yeah, right.
And,
so you don't want to, with that in mind, you don't want to do any tests with contrast.
No.
Right, like the GAD that they give you with the MRIs. You don't want to do that. But
I can't do it in my eyes anymore because I've got this thing in my chest now.
The catheter
thing.
Yeah.
And I'm beginning to wonder if maybe I'm allergic to that.
Well,
it's in my chest for the, it's a pacemaker.
Right. You've got to find somebody who'd be willing to work with you to find out what's going on here. Now, is this a case where they don't like your insurance?
Well, I've got Medicare and I got Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Okay. So, and your Blue Cross Blue Shield is a Medigap policy, right? Like Plan G?
Right.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
All right. Well, then that would cover it. That would absolutely cover it. I don't understand why they're basically throwing you away like this. I don't like it at all.
Yeah, and I asked if I could please have one more day of rehab.
Well, that's
over at the rehab center because I thought I can't keep going like this. Maybe one more day would help me a little bit. And so they said, well, if I wanted to stay, I'd have to pay $476 for the day to stay.
Exactly, because those are formularies. Medicare is not going to change what it allows. Now, while you were there, were you getting several hours a day of therapy at least 5 days a week? John says I have to shut up right now because the show's over. Call me at 10. Call me tomorrow night at 10 early, and we'll pick it up right there.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. Well, I guess it's WGN Radio.